What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. My brother, we are in two very interesting locations. One of us has better Wi-Fi than the other. Let's just start with that. But hey, before we get going, I got a special guest for you. I got somebody who listens to the podcast because they are your biggest fan. Come on in.
Better not be my favorite. It better not be my favorite. It better not be my favorite.
Did you see Mom's almost fall?
Mama Bear. I am. Thank you so much. How are you?
And I'm good. Happy to see my son, you know?
I know. Jay Bell's the best. That's amazing. When are you coming? When are you coming, Mama Bell?
I'll be in October for the game. Yeah.
October. Perfect.
I just left.
Perfect.
I was there in May, but you were somewhere.
Where was I? I was gone somewhere.
He's gone.
I forget where I was.
Amazing. All right, Mom. Now you got it. You can't listen to what we're going to talk about because you're going to listen to it later.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Amazing. Amazing. Bye bye.
She couldn't wait to see her who, you know, who she really cares about.
What do you want me to do? What you want me to do?
You can't do nothing about it. You know, every time I get a call post podcast, she's like, "Oh, OC was great. He said this and he said that." I said, "Yeah, Mom. That's enough. That is enough."
It was great to see you.
I'm here at Mom's house, Long Beach, California, holding it down.
Looks great.
Yeah,
actually.
Man.
Nice weather, amazing, beautiful place. Yeah.
It's a good place. Tell the people where you are.
I am in Nairobi, Kenya. NFL Africa. Our annual event is taking place here in Nairobi. So I'm here. And, you know, we just had a meeting, actually, where they brought all the, because what we have now is we have a flag football tournament that goes on amongst the national team. So it's the men, the women's, and the children. And I just found out something. Shout out to Afia Law. She told me that the event that we're having here, this is the first time they've ever done this anywhere in the world. Where they bring the men's national team, the women's national team, and the children's national teams. Five different teams. The first time they've ever done it. Africa is the first place they've ever done it, man. How about that, J-Bell? How cool is that?
Clap it up. So cool. So many people work so hard. Putting this together, and you know what, man, trailblazer. You know, people talk about it. You do it. You're out there making it happen, and that's what it's about, man. You've been doing this a long time, and seeing this growth. I mean, I always try to talk about it as much as possible on our podcast because it's amazing what you're doing, man. And just keep striving, man. You know, everything you're doing, man, you're setting the blueprint of what's going to happen internationally with this game, man. And you do it with limited resources.
We call that, you know what we call it, J-Bell? A shoestring budget. Shoestring budget. That's what they call it.
Hey, you talking about a shoestring budget, it made me think about something. So, like, all right, traveling, coming to Mom's house. Don't want to bring everything. So, you know. Usually everything's here. Hey man, Mom's has my favorite water. I like, you know.
Wow.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, Mom's hooked your boy up.
Isn't that cool?
Today, yeah. You know, it's all love. But you know what? Yeah. So I'm doing my thing. I go to the gym, take a shower, getting ready for the pod, and I'm like, oh, I need some lotion. Mm. And I go in to get lotion, and I realize I've made a grave mistake. Cause every lotion in there is scented. Everything.
Wow. Scented lotion.
She had about 10 of them, bro. All of them. Every single scent. Nothing plain, bro.
Good.
Just the smell good, bro. Like, I made a crucial mistake.
Nah, it's all good, man. I mean, you're at home. I mean, you might as well put the little smell good on, feel good.
I am at home, man. Now,
you're in the USA, huh?
I'm in the USA, bro. Holding it down.
Interesting. Interesting, J-Bo.
There's something I want to ask you about, though.
Okay.
I don't want to know your opinion on this because it's serious now. Because it's the summertime. And the summertime is all about love, OC. Love is in the air in the summertime. Most weddings are summertime, right? Type weddings. Weather's good. Destination weddings, things like that. I'm out here. I got to go to a wedding I'm going to see a bunch of our former teammates, and I'm going to fly tomorrow to that. And it just made me think, there's a big wedding, you know, that I was in town
for. Who got married? Okay.
You know?
Who got married? Who got married? Which one?
Kelsey, Taylor Swift, right? They get married, you know? I'm in town, just not for that. But I read an article about a former player, a guy he knew, complaining about not being invited. Mm. You know, I'm not going to put him out there, whatever. But this was a massive wedding. A bunch of people was invited. And I just thought about, I thought about the stress of a wedding. And nobody can ever be right.
Yes. Yes.
And I just want to know, I just was thinking about that this morning. Like, you just can't be right. You have to make family decisions, friends decisions, business acquaintance decisions. You only have a finite amount of resources, regardless of how much money you got. You can't invite the world. And I was just thinking, I wonder what OC thinks about weddings.
Okay. So that's a great question, J-Bo. Great question. And as usual, I'm going to give you a interesting answer.
I expect this.
My feelings on weddings have changed dramatically. Dramatically. And I'm going to tell you why. So when I got married, this was 2015, I got married in Angola.
Yep.
That's where my wife was from. She's from Angola. So we got married in Angola, her home country. I went there to visit, you know, before the wedding. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is where I want to get married. It's beautiful country. Nice people. Went there to did it. And if you don't know, she is a big deal in her country.
Right.
Fact. And so what happened was the president and the first lady of the country essentially took over the wedding. They made it like their wedding, right? So it was like a state wedding. Massive. Whoa. They were there. Security was there. It was crazy. Crazy, crazy wedding. And it was nice. It was fun. We had a good time. But the amount of stress that comes with that, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, right? So a couple of years go by, and I'm listening to a podcast, and it's the it's somebody on the podcast, and he's saying that he can usually tell how long a marriage is going to last by how big the wedding is.
Okay, give me more. By how big
True
it
story.
Is.
By how big the wedding is. He says if the wedding is massive and a lot of people come, the marriage isn't going to last. And if it's a small wedding, it's a small wedding and it's not a lot of people that come, it's just friends and family, usually those weddings are the ones, or those marriages are the ones that last. Because the big weddings, it's like, the emphasis is on the production and on the wedding as opposed to the actual marriage. Whereas the small ones, where it's very, very few people there, it really is about you're just getting married to this person who you're going to be with for the rest of your life. And I found it really, really interesting. So I go to my brother, my elder brother. Mm-hmm. He got married in Greece. This is just recently, and there might have been 15 people there maximum. 15 people there maximum. Beautiful wedding. Exactly. Right. So not even all of our family came. Right. Like it was like small. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing how everything was going. And I promise you right then and there, J-Bell, I said, this is exactly how weddings are supposed to be.
Ooh.
This is exactly how weddings are supposed to be. Meaningful, impactful. It's not about all the people who are coming, because guess what? Most of them don't really care, J-Bell. They're just there for the vibe. And you're going to spend all that money. You're going to spend all those resources, and they're going to come. They're going to drink. They're going to eat, and they're going to forget about it the next day. It doesn't make any sense. So my advice out there for anybody who's looking to get married in a small domestic wedding. Make sure it's all about you and this particular individual. Don't worry about anything else, J-Bell. That's my thing on weddings. Okay, first of all,
my budget agrees with this. My budget goes, I like this. Okay?
Yeah.
I feel like you are my financial advisor.
I'm
breaking this down.
I'm helping the people. I'm helping the people, J-Bell.
You are helping the budget. I will say, though, like, a good party at a wedding, I appreciate that. Now, I'm not paying for it. It's good vibes. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing.
My brother Doc gets married. It was amazing. They're going to last. It was outstanding. The bar closed.
Okay.
Had in and out at the end. You know?
Okay.
I was stressed out doing the best.
We'll see.
Hey, you want to hear something? Hey, you want to hear something funny, though? You didn't make it because you was doing something else, but when AP got married, it was a five-day event.
Five-day event?
Antonio Pierce, when he got married, it was every day for 5 days he did something. I mean, y'all just won the Super Bowl, bro. Y'all just won the Super Bowl. It was unreal.
And you know, they're gonna last. So, you know, there's an exception. There's an exception to every rule, Jim. There's an exception to every rule.
Shout out to AP for being the exception. Which is what he is. Yeah,
amazing.
Him and Jocelyn, the exception, man. And I'm with you on that, man. Well, I knew you were gonna come through on this because I'm just looking at it and I'm just like, it's to your point, it's really about the union, the people. But when you have a lot of people, you gotta invite them. There's a lot of stress, man. And for your budget, you know, just make it about you too, man. What you thinking about this World Cup, man?
So there's a couple of things, but there's one thing in particular that I want people to understand and realize.
Tell me.
I was watching the USA-Belgium game.
Yep.
Where the USA got thrashed by Belgium.
Yep.
But that's not the point.
Okay.
The point is, before that game, there was a guy who had a red card, right?
Yes. Yes. Their best player.
Got a red card. Best player by the name of Balogun. Red card.
Makes sense.
Under the rules, you're supposed to get suspended for the next game if you get a red card in one game.
Yes.
He gets suspended. All of a sudden, the president of FIFA gets a phone call from president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of the United States is like, hey, you know, I'm not privy to the conversation they had. But what I do know is all of a sudden, red card lifted, red card suspended. Balogun gets to play the next game. Now, here's what I want everybody to think about. And here's what I want everybody to realize. The guy, Balogun, parents are Nigerian. The only reason why he's born in the United States is because they refuse to... He was on a plane. They refused to send him back to London. So she had to give birth in the United States, right? He becomes
so
a United
States. London.
Exactly. He becomes a United States citizen because of that. They refuse to let his mother get on the plane, right? So he has to, she has to give birth to the boy in the United States. So he's a United States citizen. So the only reason why this kid is playing for the United States is the whole birthright citizenship thing.
OC, you find a way. You find a way. You find a way.
That's the only reason why. But
oh
guess what, J-Bell?
Yes.
Guess what? Right? when it benefits you, right? When it benefits the United States of America, no, he doesn't care nothing about birthright citizenship anymore. He doesn't care anything about that anymore. Now it's, hey, president of FIFA, we need this guy to play for the United States because he's the United States' best player. Prior to that, is he American? Were you born here? Blah, blah, blah. Jay Bell and all our listeners, don't let these people fool you. Don't let these people fool you. There's only one thing they care about. Winning. There's only one thing they care about. What's going to bring more glory to us? All these tactics that they use, birthright citizenship, this, or is he American, blah, blah. They don't care about that, J-Bell. And this man just proved that to the world. Nobody's thinking about that. Nobody's saying anything about that.
Nobody.
This guy's not supposed to be American under your rules. But you made the call to make sure that he plays for the United States of America, J-Bell.
I'll see. That summed up everything. Nobody's talking about that. I did not know that. And that's exactly what it's about. It's about winning. The complaints now, the way people are talking about the World Cup now that the U.S. has lost, some people, you know, not all, but some people, it's because there's no chance now to win. There's no chance to be a winner. There's no chance to say, oh, look at our president. He gets the ability to get our player back on the field because we win the arguments. We win the debates, you know, but as soon as we lose, then, well, it can't be real. It can't be true. That's false. That's not reality. All of those words, themes, theories start to pop up. But you said something that's so, so profound, so right. I'm reading this book on Elon Musk right now, and it's just talking about how he thinks and how he's gotten to this point and, you know, the way he's shaping society and the way he views the world, right? So you got to go back in history, who he is, what he is, and all that. I mean, flat out immigrant, flat out shouldn't have been here. Should not have been here. Should have been deported, you know, the way it all happened and stuff. Now they got immigration status, but this country, the USA I'm in, is always about, I mean, when you look at the tech companies, the top ones, immigrants. Talk to some of the engineers that have built these companies, immigrants. So. Yep. As long as you were winning or you are about that, you know, we accept that. And that's the conversation. I mean, if we just have these plain, pure, based in reality conversations, we understand all the tactics, everything that's the strategy and what's happening and why it's happening. You know what? Also, and I'm not even going to bring this player up because I don't like talking about it, but we've been on teams. Where it's guys that get away with more.
Mm.
There's more patience. There's more. They deal with more. Guess why? Because that person impacts if you win or lose.
Yep.
And I've seen that same person who, if, you know, like based on a Madden rating, say they're a 99 or 90, and they can drop down to an 86. Still a good player.
Mm.
But compared to what they have to accept, they're like, that's not good enough to deal with all this other stuff. Gotta move on.
Yep.
Gotta move on. You know, you see it all the time. And to your point, I mean, that was never once mentioned at all in anything I'm reading about this subject. My goodness, OC. Unbelievable.
Crazy. Right there in front of everybody, like right there in your face. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, hold up now. Are y'all not going to say anything about this? Like, are y'all not going to say anything about this?
How do you think he feels about that? I mean,
I'm not even sure if he's processed it. But I think that, you know, on top of that, the United States soccer team, it was a very good story. They were playing well, and people were rooting for them. And then that happened, and I promise you, the whole world turned on them, man. They turned on them. They turned on the United States.
Look
at the Belgian players. They were doing the Trump dance. It was like they were
so quick.
Boom. They were like, nah, man. You know? And so I hate that that happened to them like that. Good team. They did the country proud, I believe. But man, that was just that was unfortunate. There's another thing too, in terms of the World Cup and soccer that bother me when I listen to Americans talk, because it's primarily Americans that say this.
Okay.
And they say, oh, if America would just put all their best athletes to play soccer, you know, they could turn America into the best, soccer playing country in the world. That all they have to do, if Russell Westbrook just trained for 6 months, he would blow everybody away, and LeBron James and all these athletes. And I'm sitting over there and I'm looking at these idiots just frothing at the mouth with their stupid exceptionalism. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't have a single clue how much skill it takes to play that game. You don't have a single clue, J-Bell. In terms of athleticism, I was one of the best athletes in America. And I'm telling you right now, J-Bell, that does not correlate to soccer at all. I mean, the things these people have to do. Listen, don't watch the World Cup. Don't watch the World Cup. Don't pay any attention to that. Just go to like a Premier League or like, just go watch them practice. Just watch them practice, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the things you're going to see these people do, right? That's when you're going to know we don't have no chance. That game right there, the reason why you have people like Messi and all these that are so good is the skill that it takes to play that game. It's like you have to come out of your womb. It has to be in your blood. These people play this game nonstop. And I'm talking about it's not like football, J-Bell, with like a helmet and pads. It ain't. These people, they play this game from the time they're like two. I take my son to Power League, Igwe. And J-Bell, I'm looking at them training these kids. They're like four. They're 4 years old, J-Bell. Four.
You had to give me the fingers.
And I'm like, is this possible? How is this possible? They're so good. Moving, one touch, boom, boom, head. Ooh, chest ball, control. Ooh, move, pass. Such a... How?
Osi, you... I hear you, but I'm going to... You want to hear a little American exceptionalism come out of my...
Give it to me, J-Bell. Give it to me, J-Bell.
I was like, oh, I'm that guy.
Yes.
I'm that guy. I'm the guy who says I'm him. When you said J-Bell, you were saying it in a different way. You just include me in the conversation, but I'm that guy. Because I say, this is my argument. Big if. And it's because we want to compete and we want to be the best. You know, Americans want to be the best in sports. I get it. I say, if you had the focus that you have in other countries for the beautiful game of football, soccer, those athletes that would be in other sports, probably a lot of football athletes would play soccer.
It's not about athleticism. It's not about athleticism, but and that's the problem.
But they start when they're really young.
It ain't about the game of soccer. Isn't about athleticism, bro.
Okay, so okay,
it's not about athleticism.
They would have to have the infrastructure and the coaching that are in the other places.
They would that have to sink. Jason, the United States of America, and I'm telling you this as a proponent of the United States of America. I love the country. Mm-hmm. No chance. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? J-Bell.
You just built it up.
J-Bell. No chance.
No chance?
Zero.
No chance?
They're too far behind. Too far behind.
You know what?
Too far behind.
No, I can take some logic. And this is a logical conversation.
Yeah, too far behind, J-Bell.
I hear what you're saying. I understand. But
when you go to Power League, J-Bell, I'm telling you, when you go to Power League, and when I say Power League, right, these aren't people that are going to, like, the academies.
No.
This isn't even them.
Yeah.
And when you witness how good these kids are, I play.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go out there on Saturday sometimes, and there's a girl that comes. There are these two girls that come, and they play in the third division of Italy's team. Women, third division of Italy's club teams. They are far superior to everybody else out there, dog. Far superior. It's not even a, it's like, what is this? The levels, man. The levels. It's hard for people to understand. Now, I'm telling you this because I played in the NFL and I play soccer. There's just no chance. No chance.
You know what I love
about
You know what I love about football soccer is watching it and living in the UK and being immersed in it. I love the fact that, you know, you can see players on the field that see the game in systems and that are constantly a couple of steps ahead, right? And this comes, and you know, there's nobody on the sideline telling you, hey, you know, look at this, check this out, do this. The ones that can see the game and how it's going, and then you see the movement of the ball and how they progress, and usually it's the great ones you're focused on. You're like, now that's art. Mm. I mean, it is fantastic to watch. And, you know, I watch the game as it moves. So I look the whole thing, the whole field, and I just see the flow because I'm watching them trying to create space and trying to constrict space and how that moves. And then all of a sudden, somebody sees something where something is not in the right place. And when that happens, it's like, I feel as a fan I am, I'm like, I've waited for this moment. You know what I mean? Like, and then it happens and you're like, wow, how hard that is and how difficult that is to take shape and occur. And in this individual, that is the proponent that creates that. And that is not only is it skills, but the visual capacity to see this whole entire field and game. And I love that about this game.
It's such a great game. And the last thing I will say about the World Cup, the last thing I'll say about it is the passion that it inspires in your country. It's just like nothing else. I saw this thing the other day, and somebody was talking about it. It was a woman, and I think it was the Brazil. I forget who Brazil played against. But what happened was the woman had like half of her face painted with the Brazil colors and the other half was painted with the other team's colors. And she was supporting. And when the other team scored, she was dancing. And I got to be honest with you, like I wanted to throw up, Jay. I was sick.
You can't love two teams?
Jay Bell. Unacceptable.
Oh, wow.
Unacceptable.
You're serious. You can't do it?
You cannot do it. When it comes to the World Cup, your allegiance is to one team and one team only. Now, you can be okay with other teams winning. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. your allegiance is to one team and one team only. Now, listen, born in the UK, I love the UK. I don't mind England winning. Like, I wouldn't mm-hmm. mind. I'll be like, oh, that's nice. That's cool. You know what I mean? Go England. Harry Kane, our guy. Good for you, England. Right?
Mm-hmm.
My allegiance is to one team and one team only. And that is the United States of Nigeria, buddy.
You're locked
remember,
in.
Remember, Jason, I remember waking up. It was the 94 World Cup. I remember waking up and, you know, NEPA, which is the electric company, just so happened to give us light that day because they know if they know, J-Bell, I promise you, they know if there's no light when Nigeria's playing the World Cup, riots would tear the country down. So they gave us that light that one day. Oh, yeah. And I remember waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I remember Nigeria's playing Bulgaria. And I remember Rashidi Akini scoring that goal. And he goes into the net, J-Bell, and he starts grabbing the net. And he's like, Yakini, Nigeria. I was like, oh my God, J-Bell. And I remember like that feeling that you have for your country. And I remember also, you know, we're playing Italy in that same World Cup. I'm a kid. We're playing Italy and we're ahead 1-0. We're on our way to the quarterfinals and Roberto Baggio scores in the 88th minute, 1-1. And then he scores again and they beat us. I never forgive him. If I see him, I'm going to punch him in his face, J-Bell. I promise you. I'm telling you right now, I've never forgiven him. I can't stand the sight of Roberto Baggio. Straight in the mouth, J-Bell. I can't stand the sight of the kid. Your allegiance belongs to only one team. And you can love everybody else, but you can only be allegiant to one team. Mine is Nigeria. Yours is the USA. I know you love England, but it has to be the USA. I'm sorry. And that's just what it is. You can't support two teams.
Oh, see, that is amazing because we are almost at that time.
Okay.
33 minutes.
Oh, wow. Right? Amazing. Yeah, right on time.
Right on time. And you are on time. And I just want to bring this back with our closing 72 seconds that we never close on time with. I am that wedding guest in a big wedding. Okay? I'm the wedding guest in a big wedding. I'm like kind of in the friend circle. I might be a plus one. I'm that guy.
Okay.
Because I'm there for the party. Meaning, I want to be at the party. So you know what? I live in the UK, my brother, in London. I want the party. I want the celebration.
You want England.
I am the invited guest, OC.
It's coming home.
And I, it's coming home.
Coming home.
That's the fan I am in the World Cup, okay? And I plan on not leaving that country. So hey, I hear you. This is what we're doing.
I hear you, bro. I'm with you. I hear you 100%.
And it's a better team.
It is. It is. They're a better team. They can actually win, J-Bell. They can win. I've been to Power League. They can win, J-Bell.
They can win. Everything you just said. I'm on the side of the best chance to win, and I'm the invited guest. My goodness, man. We must be delirious, man. Late night for you, putting it down. NFL Africa, making it happen in Kenya. Me on the west coast of California, Long Beach. You know what I'm saying? East side, LBC. You know, it's usually always the C. I'm just saying.
Hey,
our guy Henry knows all about that LBC too. You know what I mean? Shout out to Henry. Till next time, brother.